Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Shutasya Pumsam Suchirashramasya. Suchirashramasya. Nanvanjasa Sudibir Iditorta. Tadad Gunanu Shravanam Mukunda.
Tadad Gunanu Shravanam Mukunda.
Padaravindam Vidayeshu Yesham.
Padaravindam Vidayeshu Yesham.
Shutasya Pungsam Suchirashramasya. Nanvanjasa Sudibiri Diturta. Tad Gunanu Shravanam Mukunda. Padaravindam Ridyeshu Yesham. Okay, I'm here. Shutasya,
of
persons who are in the process of hearing. Pumsam,
of such persons.
Suchida,
for a long time.
Shramasya, laboring very hard. Nanu,
certainly.
Anjasa,
elaborately.
Suribihi,
by pure devotees.
Iditaha,
explained by.
Artaha,
statements.
Tat,
that.
Tat,
that.
Guna,
transcendental qualities.
Anushravanam,
thinking.
Mukunda,
the personality of Godhead,
who awards liberation.
Pada Aravindam,
the lotus feet.
Ridayeshu,
within the heart.
Yesham,
of them.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from the mouths of pure devotees about the character and activities of pure devotees. Pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, who awards his devotees liberation.
Purport.
Transcendental activities. No. Transcendental students are those who undergo great penance in being trained by hearing the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. Not only must they hear about the activities of the Lord, but they must also hear about the transcendental qualities of the devotees, who are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. A pure devotee of the Lord cannot be separated from the lotus feet of the Lord for even a moment. Undoubtedly, the Lord is always within the hearts of all living creatures, but they hardly know about it because they are deluded by the illusory material energy. The devotees, however, realize the presence of the Lord, and therefore they can always see the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. Such pure devotees of the Lord are as glorious as the Lord. They are, in fact, recommended by the Lord as more worshipable than he himself. Worship of the devotee is more potent than worship of the Lord. It is, therefore, the duty of the transcendental students to hear of pure devotees as explained by similar devotees of the Lord. Because one cannot explain about the Lord or his devotee unless one happens to be a pure devotee himself. Prabhupada, in the first sentence, talks about undergoing great penance. In hearing, being trained by hearing, the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. It's a great penance. It's the penance of discrimination, of what we call orthodoxy and orthopraxy, or what we don't call it, the Christian theologians call. Orthodoxy means, doxy means opinion, doxis, having the right opinion. This is a great penance, to modify your opinion. In the modern times, in our culture, we're supposed to be free to have our own opinion. It's a free world, a free market. You can go to the shopping mall and buy whatever you want. Now, this is our freedom. You know, I like pumpernickel bagels. I like chocolate bagels. You have your choice. Free opinion. You can vote for the Republicans or the Democrats, or you can even write in the name of anybody else you want. This is our freedom, supposedly. Freedom of opinion. And therefore, we don't like the idea of anybody imposing on us that we should have some opinion and not have another. This is our prejudice. This is our religion. Our religion is plurality. Or, what do we call it? Pluralism? Anyway. The idea that everybody can have their own idea, and no opinion is better than another's. Apart from, you know, there are facts of solid science, hard facts of science. Those everyone has to accept. But when it comes to opinion, politics, religion, and so on, no opinion can be better than another. Multiculturalism. We have to accept all the cultures, which means no culture. It means no civilization. Because it does make a difference which opinion you accept. You know, choosing the absolute truth is not like choosing one flavor of bagels as opposed to another. This is a more crucial question. What is the goal of your life? How do you identify that goal? What is a value in life? What is real? What is important? These are questions that are not just whimsical opinion that should be the basis of the decision. We should not trust our own opinion on these things, because our intelligence is distorted by material desires, by lust, envy, and greed. Therefore, we think the wrong thing. We think that something's important and of value that is actually the cause of our bondage. And is really what should be rejected, this sense gratification and this struggle for supremacy in the material world. This should be given up. So in order, we have to Pariksha Lokan Karma Chitan Nivedamayat Nastya Krita Kritena Brahmano Nivedamayat. Somebody who, after performing the Vedic rituals, and his intelligence has become purified by that, then he can be called a Brahman. He has a broad intelligence. He's not any more narrow-minded. He can see things in proper perspective and judge what is important and what is not important. And on his own, he can see that everything he's been striving for in this Vedic system of sacrifice is temporary and inferior. It's all temporary, and there must be something better, because it's not that great. Your heaven, your opulence, your power, whatever you can achieve by performing sacrifice. Nivedamayat. Therefore, he should become disinterested. He should lose his interest in these material successes. Nasti akritak pritena. There's a real world beyond this temporary, insignificant world. It's not created. It's eternal. Akrita. So how By pursuit of things that are created, that are temporary, am I going to achieve perfection? Nasti akritat kritena. You can't achieve the uncreated by remaining attached to the created. Tadvigyanartam sagurum eva abhigacchet. And to understand what is this absolute truth, this akrita, uncreated, one should approach someone who has a better opinion. Sagurum abhigacchet. And the disciple should approach humbly. If someone has a better opinion than you, then you should just listen. Be ready to listen and submit. If you recognize that, this person knows what I want to understand, and he knows it better than me, then I will approach him and show him that I want to listen, not just talk idly or argue. So therefore, samitpani. The symbol is that one, the disciple, prospective disciple, the student, approaches the teacher, showing that he's ready to do humble service and listen submissively. Samitpani, holding firewood in his arms, in his hands. Samitpani. It's a Bahuvrihi. It's actually an inverted Saptami Tatpurusha. In the hands, there is pani of whom, there's firewood in the hands of whom? Samitpani, inverted karma, Saptami Tatpurusha turned into a Bahuvrihi. Meaning is that in the traditional life of the ashrams, the teachers who were performing fire sacrifices, the students were expected to assist, to show that you're coming to be of use. Why should a teacher want to accept a disciple who will be useless? In other words, he'll take the knowledge and not use it properly. Misuse it, or just ignore it. Even if the guru doesn't care for his own aggrandizement, he doesn't want to get something from the disciple, he's willing to give out knowledge freely as a service, and he's not looking for the disciples to support him necessarily, he's trusting Krishna will provide support. But he wants that the effort he makes in teaching not be wasted. So he wants serious disciples, serious students. So when the prospective student shows that he's willing to be of service, to be useful, not just that we need help, you know, that the guru can't do the sacrifice by himself, he needs someone to bring the sticks for him. But he wants that the students, when they finish their training, they'll go out in the world and make use of it, that they'll be useful for the benefit of everybody. So a disciple shows, when he's first coming, that he wants to be useful by carrying in his hand firewood, ready to get to work. And the guru's, the teacher's qualification is Shotriyam Brahmanishtam. He's learned in the scripture, and he's devoted to the absolute truth, Brahmanishtam. That is required, that we have to rectify our opinion and our behavior. Orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Praxis means practice or activity. So we have to think correctly and act correctly in order to become free from illusion and be able to regain our connection with the absolute truth. Because we're thinking and acting incorrectly, we're keeping ourselves in illusion. So the training we get from a spiritual teacher is to inculcate in us correct attitudes, correct opinions, and correct patterns of behavior. This may be very repulsive to modern minds. Brain control, conditioning. No, this is education. All systems of education try to do that. Modern education in the modern, the lower schools, they're just prison houses. But even the universities, what is their agenda anyway? They're teaching this pluralism. That no opinion is better than another. That's the religion, that's the doctrine. And everything is arranged to inculcate that, you know, to teach that catechism. So no educational system is just neutral. Every educational system has its agenda, is trying to program the students to think and behave in a certain way. Even the so-called liberal education, liberal arts education. So Vedic education has its agenda also, to teach the correct attitudes, the correct opinions, and the correct behavior of a human being. That our real purpose of life should be to link up with the Supreme and get liberation, but the liberation is even secondary. Most important thing is to connect with the Supreme and reestablish our spiritual life. And I lost them. Go back to the purple for a second. 13:4. I pulled out the marker. So it's a great austerity to undergo voluntarily this training of simply hearing the right information from the right, from the appropriate person who is actually an authority on it. So, Hare Krishna. First of all, it requires giving up our prejudice that nobody should dictate to me what my opinion is, and nobody should even tell me what to do. At least my generation, the parents were taught by Dr. Spock to be permissive and let the children do whatever they want. I guess that, you know, the philosophy's changed from generation to generation, but in my generation, that was the parents' predominant philosophy. It didn't result, in most cases, in very good, and the children didn't turn out so well because of that. Too much permissiveness. But actually, the teachers, the parents, the gurus, should impose discipline. Discipline of proper thought and proper behavior in order to train up a human being to become civilized. So it's a great discipline to just accept that discipline, to let someone else tell you what to think and what to do. And it requires a very careful use of discrimination. How do you decide who to listen to? You're not just going to listen and then discard. I'm going to go and listen and accept the opinion. So how do I find the person whose opinion I can accept, even at the cost of rejecting my own? Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitte Te Koriya Aikyo Ara No Koriya Mone Ash. This is the attitude one should have when dealing with a Vaishnav guru. There may be different kinds of gurus, but when you're dealing with a pure Vaishnav, Narottam Das Thakur explains the attitude. The words that emanate from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master, I should place them carefully within my heart. I should cherish them. Arna Koriya Mone Ash, and I should not entertain, I should not allow other contrary ideas to remain in my heart, in my mind. If I have a contrary idea to what I've been told by my spiritual master, I have to reject my own idea. So this is a very serious, very, very severe discipline. Great austerity to do that. Now how? But it's also a great difficulty, a great exercise of discrimination that's very crucial. How do I decide who to accept as such an authority? Who to listen to with that kind of faith? Hare Krishna. Anyway, we have sampradayas, we have schools. So we generally what happens is someone decides is attracted to a certain school of thought. We are attracted to the school of thought of ISKCON established by Prabhupada, this sampradaya, the ISKCON sampradaya. And then we first of all decide we want to follow Prabhupada, and then we learn that, well, you have to take initiation from somebody else because he's not, you have to have initiation from someone who's physically present, then you decide, okay, I'll pick somebody. Yeah, I want to do this. It's an act of discrimination, one's own volition. You have to decide for yourself.
ultimately. Although others may try to tell you what, how to choose, you have to decide for yourself. So that is a great austerity. Although it doesn't involve necessarily lifting a finger, but it's a great effort of the power of discrimination. Actually, the really crucial question is to align yourself with the right sampradaya. Once you've done that, you can follow the guidelines of the sampradaya, and you're and you're safe. Now, it's not that if there's more than one teacher available within the sampradaya, then it's just a matter of personal choice. You should be relatively safe, no matter how you exercise that choice, as long as you take shelter of the sampradaya. But we have to be lucky to, or intelligent and fortunate to pick the right sampradaya in the first place. There are those who are, even after belonging to ISKCON, rejecting it, dissatisfied with it, finding fault, and then they realign themselves with some other. This is a serious business. So this is a great discipline then, to accept the self-discipline of hearing the spiritual knowledge from someone whom we accept as an authority. And the first great difficulty in that process is choosing such a person. So, therefore, Prabhupada says, the first sentence, transcendental students are those who undergo great penance in being trained by hearing the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. And then one simply has to hear about the glories of the Lord, but especially about the glories of the Lord's devotees. Then, you know, once you've... it may be very difficult to get into a good school, and you work very hard in high school, but once you get into the university, then you can just relax. Sometimes, in some situations. Once you have gotten your entrance, then the program itself in the university may not be that difficult. So you struggled and struggled, you finally got admitted, now you can relax. Like that, not that we can relax, but the hard part is making the right choice and deciding that I actually want to dedicate myself to real spiritual life, and I will undergo the discipline of letting my own opinions be modified and my behavior be modified. That's the hard part. The rest of it is simply follow the process, which is not that difficult. Hear from the spiritual master and the guru, the sadhu, and the shastra. Accept them as your authority. And hear about the science of Krishna consciousness, which an important part of which is understanding the glories of the Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnava in particular that we're talking about here is Swayambhuva Manu. There's a poetic device here in this verse. It's called Apastuta Prashamsanam. The context of the verses preceding and following are Swayambhuva Manu himself. And this verse diverts, in a sense, by making a general point about the value of hearing about devotees. So when you the word Apastuta Prashamsanam means speaking about something that's not the topic. And so that's a particular poetic device. This verse is exhibiting that ornament of making a diversion to make, in this case, you divert from a specific topic to speak on the general principle. That's a particular kind of Apastuta Prashamsanam. Introducing a generalization that is relevant, but it's not exactly the topic at hand. The topic at hand is Swayambhuva Manu, and here the idea of the importance of hearing about devotees supports, gives us reason to want to continue hearing, because accepting that principle, Swayambhuva Manu is also one of those devotees, we should hear about him. Okay, so I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. So, we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.